You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the K. Show, everybody. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. New coaches in the NFL. Sean Payton has taken over the Denver Broncos, and they've worked out compensation with the New Orleans Saints. And D'Amico Ryans, the brilliant defensive coordinator of the 49ers, is the new head coach of the Houston Texans. I don't think it's a desirable job, but I don't blame Ryans for taking it, Don. There are only 32 of them.
One of 32.
And you get a six-year deal, so you know you're going to get paid.
It's one of 32, and you go in there with zero expectations. So really anything can be looked upon as a success. Nobody has had any success there in a few years. They don't have a quarterback, but they'll be drafting one.
Mm-hmm.
So good for him, but that just looks like you said it was like the worst job in the NFL or the worst team in the NFL. Yeah, right now they got no quarterback, no direction. It's a mess there in Houston, but it wasn't that long ago they were in the playoffs.
But the way they've treated their last two coaches with such disdain, to give them 1 year, which is obviously a heavy lifting job, that team is awful. And then the Panthers today officially announced Frank Reich as their head coach, and their head coach was there, and so was the owner, David Tepper, who said he's trying to end the old boys network in the NFL. And you hired a guy who's white, who's had two other jobs, and you did not hire the guy, Steve Wilks, who did a great job, but you want to end the old boys network.
Wait, I don't understand it either. Wait, is Steve Wilks white or black? I'm sorry. I forget.
Steve Wilks is black.
Hold on. Is this guy out of his mind? Wilkes did a good job. That team overachieved.
Tepper said we have probably the most diverse executive team in the NFL right now. We are probably a minority of white men on our executive team right now. That's where it starts. That's America.
Well, that's great to hear. But you also, just to be clear, Frank Reich seems fine, guys. But you fired a black coach who overachieved with the talent you had last year and hired a white coach who underachieved and had to be booted from Indianapolis. It's a little bit weird. And I don't hate Frank Reich. Don't get me wrong. Maryland, man. But, I mean, come back to me.
All right. You know who's come back to us?
Steve Young.
The great Steve Young, the Hall of Famer Steve Young. And he joins us now on the K-Show. Steve, how you doing?
Good, guys. How are you? Wow. Flurry. Stuff's happening.
A lot of stuff. Let's start with how difficult was it for you? I mean, I know you have the Niners in your blood. To see them lose that game and – Steve, they really never had a chance once Purdy got injured.
Hold on a second.
Sorry. Oh, no. Oh, no. Something's happening.
Oh, he's someplace important.
Sounds like an airport.
Maybe a DMV.
I think he's at a Fuddruckers.
You think so?
Yeah. They're calling out orders.
They put butter on the bun at Fuddruckers. It's so good.
Come back. Okay. Sorry about that.
There he is.
We're just curious. Where are you?
I will tell you that. I'm in the car.
Okay.
Got a couple things happening.
Well, thank you for the time.
I'm not being pulled over. Like I have been pulled over while I've been talking to you before. So we know that we've gone through that one.
Yes.
Commitment, full commitment. This was a team that was going to be really tough to beat, and everybody knows it. And they're as talented, and they're going to be probably equally talented next year. So the quarterback is the spot, and they found a guy that could manage through it and seemed to be flourishing. And to have it just disappear, it was a mess. And the idea that they could have come back or something could have happened. I mean, Brock Purdy's UCL is completely torn. Like he couldn't, that was not going to happen. And Josh Johnson, he just needed to not get knocked out. And I really believe with Josh Johnson, we have a chance. Really, with the team that they had. Defense that they had to hold them to 14, and it was the fumble where things went haywire and got down two touchdowns.
Yeah,
Yeah, it was, and they also didn't play a clean game either. A lot of penalties. It was not the greatest performance.
And
even.
Shanahan missing the challenge.
Yeah, but then they got a little desperate afterwards. Yeah. Look, when they get down 2 touchdowns in a championship game, things do tend to get a little bit more extended.
But that one drive, what was it, tied at 7, where they had 3 third-down penalties that gave them a fresh set of downs. That was killer. That you just can't have that happen when you're down to your basically fourth-string quarterback. But we were talking about this yesterday, Steve, and I don't know. But that's why we have to ask you as an expert. You're Kyle Shanahan. You're going in with your third-string quarterback in Brock Purdy. Your backup is a 36-year-old that was in Denver a month ago. Do you have a break in case of emergency system of, God forbid, we lose both our quarterbacks? Is there time? Is there any way that you could put together something other than putting my injured quarterback in and just having him hand off?
Well, you've got probably 4 or 5 plays out of the Wildcat with Christian McCaffrey. You probably have a play or two with Deebo. So, I mean, you could definitely run those few handful of plays. There's no offense. There's no series that take you into the red zone stuff, kind of stuff. But you got plays, so you can run those plays. But you can't throw the football. You got to find somebody who can throw the football. And I'm not talking about a running back who can throw the football. So when you run out of quarterbacks, everybody brings two. Very, very few people suit up 3 quarterbacks. So I can't blame Kyle. Kyle was completely hamstrung from the beginning, but Josh, I think, was capable of doing something special just because of the nature of the guys that are around him. But when he got knocked out, there's really, they run the Wildcat. Throw the Wildcat in there. Mm-hmm. But you can't run the Wildcat and call the plays 5. Like, they don't practice it for Christian McCaffrey to call 5 plays in a row. So just in and out of the huddle, how do they manage that? Like, that's why Brock went back in. It's like, we need somebody to at least get us in and out of the huddle, And so, I mean, at that point, the white flag goes up. I mean, it's just, you can't throw a football, you're in trouble.
All right, so best case scenario, Purdy's 6 months out. Worst case, it's a year if he has the full Tommy John surgery. So does this open the door, Steve, to bring in Tom Brady, or do you go another route if you're the 49ers?
Well, you have 2 young quarterbacks on rookie contracts that aren't going to cost you a lot of money. That's Brock. If he comes back in time, great. Trey's there, great. So, but they're not going to cost you anything of significance. And so you do have the ability. Now, I don't think it could work out. Aaron Rodgers is not possible. Even though Aaron would probably love to have that happen, that's not possible. But Tom is more on Tom at this point. I think the 49ers would be absolutely interested in making something like this, especially with what's happened. Because you got 2 young quarterbacks that can be around Tom Brady for a year or two. That's a tremendous opportunity. And Tom, it's a matter of what he wants to do, where he wants to be, where his family is, where the kids are, the challenges with all the other parts of his life that he needs to figure out, and whether he wants to do it at 46 and 47 years old. But maybe 10 years ago, I started to hear kind of whispers about Tom wants to finish his career in San Francisco. So this has been something on his mind for a long time. And he made a plan. And but for Kyle Shanahan not, kind of deciding the last minute not to do it in the spring of 20, it would have happened.
All right, so in football nerd terms, can Tom Brady run Shanahan's offense? He's immobile. Can he run the offense that he wants to run?
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
1,000%. Now, can Tom go get all the yards I talk about every week? No. But it's talk about, the ability to kind of work through progressions and get to the open guy with Kyle's system. I mean, it would be every quarterback who's ever played wants to play for the 49ers right now. I mean, John Brody would want to play. Like, anybody who ever played would say, get me in with this team, with this coach, and with this system. So, the idea that it can't work, it can work with anybody. I'm not saying that Brock and Jimmy G are anybody, but you can see that the most of who these guys are is going to come out in this system. And so I believe the same thing with Tom. Whatever Tom has left, the most of Tom Brady that would be left would come out if he could get here.
We all already thought, obviously, that Mahomes was an incredibly special player. Did he show you something else, a different level, this past weekend?
He's just getting what I love about Patrick is that he was an MVP right away, Super Bowl right away, And he, Andy told me this, that he kept looking at Andy like, how do I get better? What do I need to do? And there was talk about how much he, you know, recklessness, and how do I keep aggressive and find that fine line between field goal and recklessness. And I really appreciate his willingness to go to work and to own the, I talk about owning the data every week and creating an environment where he's playing more commodity quarterback at times when he just got to get the ball out, get back, don't try to look for something special, make the gain, move on. And so there's all that, all those incredible, you know, kind of athletic elements of quarterbacking that is a calculus at all times, but you have to have them all in your hands. It's like holding, you know, throwing three balls that is suspended in the air, or that thing you used to blow in the tube and try to hold the ball in between the lines. Like, you have to continually be kind of creative tension about all these aspects of your game. And what you saw on Sunday was a guy who had mastered, who continues to master the position with the ability in 2023 of exactly what you want that prototype to look like. I need to go get him with my legs. I can go do it. You saw Joe Burrow during that game say, you know what? I can't just, you know, I'm an amazing, efficient, sophisticated throw of the football, but I have to get on my horse too. So Patrick's found that place that, and if he continues, let's say he wins another Super Bowl and he continues that quest to see how good he can get, he's just going to get more and more dangerous. I thought you saw that on Sunday. Just all the aspects of his game just getting better.
If they win in 2 weeks, like, where do you have Patrick already sort of on the all-time mantle?
Yeah, how do you he's right there. You know, I mean, he's already there because you saw him the most touchdowns in championship game history, and he passed Joe Montana, and now he's second behind Tom Brady. So I think what you say is Patrick Mahomes is now in a place, if he wins another one, that now he's just chasing Tom, right?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, obviously that Joe has four, so you can't say that it's past Joe, that's for sure. But that's where he's hanging out. That's the neighborhood, you know?
And we were just trying to compare eras, and we threw out Joe Montana, and then we had a caller say, hey, don't forget about Johnny Unitas. And it's so difficult statistically, Steve, because the game has evolved so much. So is there some metric that you can look at and compare a Johnny Unitas from the 60s and 70s to a Patrick Mahomes today?
Yeah, super hard, because the biggest disconnect of the generations is the Johnny U to Joe, me, Dan, whatever, you know, that generation of those years. That's where the game changed dramatically. The passing game, the sophistication, what they asked the quarterback to do. So that's where it's the most difficult to make the comparisons. I think with era-adjusted statistics, you can make a really good kind of analysis of our generation's 80s, 90s, even the aughts, you know, and then the last 10, 15 years. You can do era-adjusted stuff and come up with pretty good. But to connect with Sammy Baugh and Johnny U and those guys, it's super tough because the game is just that much. That's the part that's almost impossible, because there's nothing statistically to help you kind of do that.
Steve, we're talking with Steve Young, the Hall of Famer, here on the Michael Kay Show. We have this conversation every couple of months. So the Bengals, you know, calling Arrowhead Burrowhead, and you know, the Cincinnati mayor saying the stupid things he said about Patrick Mahomes. Steve, does bulletin board fodder work?
Yes. So I think it's always a mistake to make your job harder. You know, I've joked about this when Tony Romo went on his, you know, had a off week, and went on his date with Jessica Simpson to Mexico and make a huge scene. I was like, bro, your job's harder now. Like, don't make your job harder. Don't create things when that, you know, remember the Giants went down on the boat. Like,
yep.
Just don't do dumb stuff that makes your job harder. Like, and so in that way, I think that's what you worry about is creating an environment where the job is harder. But I did say last week, there are some people and some psyches of teams, especially off of who Joe is. The reason why the mayor leaned in and the reason why people started to say Burrowhead is because Joe exudes that kind of it's not even that personality. It's like, I actually play better when you do that. Not like, oh, you know, he likes it. It's like, no, I think it actually drives him to play better. So in that way, I'm open to it. Like, I love being the overdog, I'll call it. I love being the guy that's just
completely, you know, committed to dominating, and I talk about it. Some guys thrive that way, and I think Joe's got a little of that. But now you're in a jam, because now there's no more Burrow. All that stuff is now stuck back down your throat.
Yep.
And now you got to go claw back out of it, and now you have to be the underdog. And so that's the thing. Fine, be the big dog. Go do all this stuff, because that's what drives you. Cool. But the second it collapses, you got to go back and reconfigure all of that, because now it doesn't matter. You start talking like that now, well, you got beat on the biggest stage, so you know, screw you. So that's the risk. So to me, why would you, with the odds of it, do things like that? Even if Joe thrives in that environment, do stuff that makes the job harder. Because look, do you think Travis Kelce and the whole team was focused? How many times have I told you, Newt Rockne's famous? Why?
The speech.
The only reason I know why is because he made a speech. Mm-hmm. He made a speech. Why is that? Why can you make a – you can't do that in baseball. You can't do that in basketball. No one's famous for making a speech in baseball or basketball. But why are you famous for making a speech in football? Because it's an emotional game. You got to go ram into other people. So the more emotionally charged you are to go ram into people, the better you can play football. And so you set yourself up for the Chiefs, who now are more emotionally charged to go prove that you can't say that. Why would you do that? Why would you create that environment? Now, if you go beat them, now you've built a juggernaut. Now you can do anything you want, but that didn't happen. So now you got to go, you know, crawl back into the hole for a while and go prove that you can actually get there again. So not worth it in my book.
Did you have a problem with the officiating this weekend?
Yeah, it's the old classic, right? I always say, if you do everything right as a quarterback, you kick field goals, because nobody's open in the end zone. You have to create. You have to figure out stuff. The room's condensed. Like on the piece of paper that the red zone play is, nobody ends up being exactly like it is on paper. So if you do your job, you drop it off for the outlet, and then you kick a field goal. That's doing your job. Well, that's the same thing here with the referees. Like, they did their job the way that they saw it at the moment. That's not every situation, but you know, but in the end, the context and just kind of thinking things through. Yeah, they got into themselves into a jam, just trying to build their rating. They're thinking about their rating rather than just being in the game, gut instinct, and just call it the way you see it. I think that's the only problem with replay that's done, is put referees in this space where they're trying to be perfect, and that is absolutely impossible.
All right, I know it's a ways away, just under 2 weeks. Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Well, if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, he's the best player today. So, you know, in a game where it's dominated by quarterbacks more than ever, and he can go get all those yards and do all that, and he has the experience, there's no problem that Jalen can become that guy. I mean, this is a game where Jalen can define him into the future, that I can stand up to Patrick Mahomes and do all that. He has the capability, has the physical capabilities and the emotional, mental capabilities. So he could completely change the trajectory of his life by going there and facing Patrick Mahomes and out-dueling him. But, you know, until somebody does that, you end up banking on the guy that keeps doing it over and over and actually getting better and better at it. So, and I hate to say that you can just say who's quarterbacking and I can tell you who's going to win the game. But just like you did with Joe Burrow and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, how many times did I say this year, those three are just going to beat each other up. The one that has to go through two of them, which Joe had to beat Josh and Patrick. Patrick only had to beat Joe once. The odds are that you're going to only beat one of them one time. You can't. And that's what the next 10 years are going to look like in the AFC. So if I'm going to go to the Super Bowl, yeah, you could beat Patrick Mahomes once. Yes. But the odds are not with you.
All right, before I let you go, Sean Payton got hired as the Broncos coach. From what you saw this year of Russell Wilson, and you've seen Payton all those years with the Saints, do you think he could fix Russell Wilson?
I if anybody can, he can. And I, as I've told many, insiders, I'd say, look, there's something haywire with Russell. Because if you're a really good player, which he is, and proven that through the years, the NFL's the truth. You don't play for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, and we don't know the truth about you. Then you go to another team, and you can't, week after week, send up a flare that lets me know that you kind of know what's going on. Like, yeah, it was tough, and you got some, you know, weapon problem. You got some protection problems, some new concepts. Yeah, I get all that. New team, whatever. I don't really care what it is. The fact is that you are a veteran player that's a good to great player, send me a flare that I know that you still know what's going on. And I waited 18 weeks for that flare to come up. And I saw some try to get out, but I never did. And so to me, something's haywire with what's going on with Russell. And I think that of all the people that can go down there and try to get it straightened out, I think Sean Payton's one of the ones that I would trust of the handful that are out there.
And finally, so much respect for D'Amico Ryans around the NFL. Did such a great job as defensive coordinator of the 49ers. I know there are only 32 of these jobs, Steve. Did he make the right move going to Texas?
The right move. Like, what were the choices? Like, it's like being drafted. Like, did I make the right move by going to Tampa? I didn't have a choice. I got drafted there.
No, he does have a choice.
He's in front of him. I know, but not, you might have one or two choices. It's right. Not like you're going to get. And then how many times are you going to get the opportunity?
Right.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to put my name back in the hat, and I'm going to go coach another year as an assistant coach and see what comes up next year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, that doesn't make any sense either. So the Texans, I think, have a solid defense to build off of. D'Amico can make the Texans one of the best defenses in the league. But as I've said many times, that's not the game anymore. Certainly part, big part of the game. But the game is who's the quarterback? And you're in the AFC. Who can go beat those three guys? And if you don't have anybody, you're going to be kind of dancing around the lower tiers of the playoffs or outside of it. And so, but I think I'm so happy for him. He's a great guy, great coach, defensive-minded guy, which is not my favorite in this era. But as long as he gets an offensive mind that can kind of go out there and be innovative and thoughtful and find a quarterback and train them and get them ready like you see Mike McDaniel do in one season this year, even though Mike McDaniel could have done it as an offensive coordinator, as a head coach. Doesn't matter. You need to find an offensive coordinator like that who could come in and just create an environment where you've got 2023 offense and into the future, not something that you're calling plays like the Cowboys 2015 with Aaron Rodgers. Like, that doesn't work.
Good stuff as always. Thank you so much, Steve. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, see you, boys.
Thanks, man.
All right, when we come back, we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers. We've been promising this, and speaking of promising, it's getting promising that the Jets might end up with this guy.
Starting to smell like that. And I do have a top five.
And a top five. Does it get better?
I think you're going to like this one. Very eclectic.
Much better than yesterday.
I don't know if I could top yesterday. Yesterday was amazing. Still getting a reaction.
Peter and I spoke about it off the air. We hated it. Anyway.
Don't care. I'm still getting Mississippi burning? ?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Here is Dan Graziano on KJM, he said the Jets are now the favorites. You hear me? The favorites for Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, when you think about their need, the strength of their roster otherwise, the connections he has on the coaching staff. I think it makes a lot of sense. If he ends up being traded, I think that's a spot a lot of people are watching very closely.
All right, the only place you could hear Aaron Rodgers is on his biographer's radio show, and that's Pat McAfee. That's the only place he talks. Good for Pat McAfee. And he talked about, and this is important, remember, the new Jets offensive coordinator is Nathaniel Hackett.
Right.
Not Nathan, Nathaniel Hackett. That's right. And he talked about his relationship with Hackett.
We all have certain coaches that have meant a lot to us over the years and have created those really special rooms to play in, special feelings on game day, made the weeks better. Obviously, Nathaniel's one of those guys. I would say there's been a handful of coaches over the years who've been just on another different level, you know, guys who just kind of bonded with more than other guys. And it's not a shot at any other coach you've played with. It's just
humans,
just like with teammates. Some guys you really love, and some guys you love and you spend more time with them off the field.
And there you have it. So that's a positive, right?
Loves the Hackett.
And so what's the decision-making process? Aaron, are you close to making a decision?
It ain't about me. It's about the Chiefs and the Eagles still playing and the great season that they've had. But I think you got to be cognizant of what was going through your mind during the season. Did you enjoy the grind as much? Did you enjoy practice? Did you enjoy the meeting time? Did you enjoy the routine? And not forget about those feelings and make an emotional response either way. I think that's important. So it's not something that's on my mind 24/7. It's not on my mind that much at all, to be honest with you. It's just settling into this part of the end of January and February and contemplating, you know, my life and, you know, for the next few months, and then trying to see if football fits into that.
Now, Rich Cimini actually has more from Rodgers on Hackett. This is the quote. Love Hack. Hack is my guy. Love him and Megan and the kids. They're really special to me. We really bonded when he was in Green Bay. He made it fun. He made the room fun. He made the weeks fun.
Oh, my God.
People say that about me.
He sure does love Hack.
He does.
And he said a decision to play is still weighing heavily on him.
I wouldn't say weighing heavy. I don't think that's the right description of it. I would say when you've played as long as I have and you like to recap each week, you know, the things that happened and you enjoy journaling and different things, I think it's important to look at the tone of those things and where your mind is, you know, when you get away from it, you know, because that's, you have to get away from the emotion of it. And that's why I always think I can't make a decision until after the Super Bowl at the earliest because there's still football going on.
You know, Carlin and Candy have a great bit they do on their show. Mm. They read quotes. Aaron Rodgers or a psychologist?
I get it.
I mean, so much psycho babble he's given us.
But I understand he's a nozzle. I get it. Or nozzly is probably the better way to put it. I don't think he is in that particular quote. No, you talked about it before, Michael. Just you don't want to make a decision emotionally. And football's still going on. Like, so a very disappointing season is fresh in his mind. You know, he's going to watch the Super Bowl feeling like he wants a chance to play in it. And then don't you think he'll be in a different headspace in the summertime as he's relaxing, gets away from the season?
Too late.
No, but I'm just saying in life, it is too late, but he could still let the Super Bowl be over, get through February. Then you start, when you get closer and closer to when mini camps are going to start, like you start to get the sensation that how many times we talk to players, like I was done, but then – boy, when spring training started, I started to miss it. When training camp opened, I started to miss it. Like, so all he's saying is that right now it'd be too emotional, disappointing season. I mean, he might feel better
in two, three weeks from now. I laughed at was when he said he's journaling. I didn't ever take Rodgers as a journaling kind of guy, but you know,
I mean,
he's very deep.
I have so little time in my day to write in a journal. To me, I can't wrap my mind around.
I wish I did it. I've forgotten so many cool things.
I don't know. There's just something about just the effort to put into it. But if you're going to do it, you want to like stick to it. I do it for the kids. When the different things that they do, I want to write down so they can kind of look back at the different things we took them to and all that. But then you wait like I'll do it next week. And then all of a sudden a month goes by and it's like, what happened last month?
Remember Bill Burr wouldn't go near him to sign his journal for the kids?
I had pink eye and the guy's a worker.
And also
why does he have to throw that in? It's pink eye's pink eye.
It's
disgusting pink eye.
Yours was dripping visceral liquid.
Peter, you were here. I had an eye patch. There was no dripping.
The eye patch was very good.
Yeah, it looked like we were doing Johnny Depp. Yeah. Here's one thing I'd like to ask Peter exclusively.
Good.
So he's given Rodgers a long time to make a decision. He's pressuring me to make one, though. Isn't that a little odd?
I don't care how long he takes it.
Well, because the Rodgers decision doesn't affect him.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's given, he said, listen, there's a lot that goes into it. And he said, I'm in the middle of doing a radio show. It's hard to make these decisions.
Right, but Don, truthfully, I hate to burst everyone's bubble. He likes talking about sports. He could give two you-know-whats about what the Jets do at quarterback. His life changes.
Yeah, it changes dramatically.
If you decide to retire and they call us in tomorrow and we go, hey, are we going to do the Peter and Don show? And they go, oh, no. It's going to be the Yo-Yo Bumchuck show featuring Peter and Don.
You know how expensive Yo-Yo is going to be?
That affects Don's life.
Right, that's all I'm saying. I just would like to know what's moving forward.
But you're pushing me to make a decision, but you're giving Rodgers all the time he needs.
Why wouldn't I? There's no comparison.
I don't have a relationship
with Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't affect my life. Would I like him to be a Jet, make the Jets more relevant? Sure. But if he goes to stays in Green Bay, retires, I still come here and do the show 4 hours a day.
You're comparing how Don thinks about this. It would be like asking Jordan Love, what do you care more about, Rodgers' decision or whether or not I stay on the radio? I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. No. I understand he cares more about whether I'm staying or not.
Right.
I know he's rooting against it. But what I'm saying is you're applying this thought process. Give him time. It's an important decision. Give me time. But it's an important decision.
Oh, my God, the time that you've taken.
You've had a lot of time.
How long have you been talking about this? Time for me to go? It's been going on for 2 years. I know when your contract's up. It's the same time mine's up.
And by the way,
all you do is talk about it incessantly.
Yeah,
I'm going to retire. I'm going to be gone. What are you going to do when I'm leave? I might retire. This might be it.
And then, by the way, you're acting as if the clock started when Marchand finally caught wind of it. We've been hearing about it for years.
You talk more about your retirement than Rodgers does. All he does is once a week he goes on and he talks
about
it.
You should start going on Pat McAfee.
You think that I have talked about it? I mean, I have fun when it's time for me to go, when you guys annoy the crap out of me, but I don't talk about retiring. The first time it ever came up on the air was when Marchand wrote that.
And that's on the air.
That was a month ago.
It's not that long. Give me more time.
Hold on, but that's on the air. If you were to ask, Watson, or the other, what's his face? Who's the old man who they brought back, his buddy at wide receiver, who they brought back to the Packers?
Cobb.
Yeah. Cobb. If you were to ask Randall Cobb, I'm sure he'd say, we talk about this all the time. We're Randall Cobb. We're Watson.
They were hanging every day. And we kind of want to know what's going on.
Yeah, well, you know what?
And I think you're trying to milk it because you long for attention.
Things are looking up, though, because I just saw one of our bosses actually bought two cases of water, and we couldn't get water here if we were parched.
How long does it take to get through two cases of water?
It'll be a couple of days.
All right, so.
So is that when we'll get a decision?
No, I'm going to get right through this Earl Grey tea, that big
old
tea.
So we have 100 bags of tea before we're going to know?
Get your bag if you want to speed it up.
Get your bag of tea. We'll know before then,
Here's Aaron Rodgers on the McAfee Show. Any conversation yet with the Packers, Aaron?
It sounds like there's already conversations going on that aren't involving me, which are interesting. Honestly, I've been insulated to a lot of that. Like I said, I was in Nashville, and then I'll be up here, this week playing in the tournament. So I'm not a part of those conversations right now. When I make up my mind one way or another, then you guys and Packers, not in that order, and everybody else will know at some point.
See, that's what drives me crazy.
Now you're back to the nozzle.
Why would they involve him? If he decides he's going to retire, they don't have to trade him. They're not going to trade him. So they want to know what's going to go on, and then they'll make a decision. So it's really on him to say, I want to play, I don't want to play. Trade me, let's figure out a way to make it work here. How are they supposed to negotiate with the Jets on a trade when the Jets are going to be like, is he going to retire or not? Well, we don't know. So why would the Packers involve him in trade talks?
He's going to make it as difficult as possible for them because that's who he is. That's who he is.
I mean, you got to identify with him just a little bit.
What? Me?
That's yeah. Right.
No, How am I making things difficult?
No. You're Rodgers likes to hem and haw around his contracts.
I'm not hemming and hawing at all.
In your history, if you're being honest with yourself, this is an important test to see how self-reflective Michael is. Would you say that in your history, you hem and haw around your contracts?
No, because Don can back me up on
this. Look at Don's face. Get a tight of Don, please.
I used to use that as a negotiating ploy. You knew I wasn't leaving. You've told people this is the first time I think he's really seriously considering going. So I never used that before.
No, but you said
it. Was an act.
You did say.
But it was an act.
But could you tell?
I know, and I'm trying to determine whether this is an act.
It's not an act.
You're being performative, you're saying.
If you
I'm a performer. You've read that.
If you stay, then was it an act?
Right.
No. Maybe something changed. See,
no, no, here's the hard part. I can't believe we're letting so much up here, but why not? We're already all the way in. People have asked me, is Michael staying or going?
Right.
I give them my assessment.
So you're the one talking to Marshan.
when my friend Andrew asked me, I give him my assessment.
Andrew who?
Marshan.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. I don't talk to him. But
well, hey there.
The truth is,
Conley,
we don't know whether or not we're part of the story or not. You could be working us too.
So you think that I'm maneuvering to get the show by myself?
No, no, no. That's not what I think at all. What I'm saying is this entire last few months where you've been trying to decide what you're doing, if you were to ask, when people were asking me, what do I think Kay is going to do? I would give them my opinion. And then they'd say to me, well, do you know that he would be telling you the truth? And I'd go, no,
I don't know that. I love you. I really do love you. I tell you guys that.
You love Ryan, too. You're not going to tell him everything.
Ryan who?
Hurley.
But the people that I'm talking with, they know exactly where I'm coming from.
Okay.
So don't worry about it. Okay, Pally?
Well, we worry because, first of all, we worry because we care.
Number one.
You don't care that much.
Number one. Number two, it does affect our lives.
Number one.
Fine, it's number two.
That's number four. That's the Gangrene Report brought to you by 2x London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers.
I'm
pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. What's the one thing that you know that I tell the truth about? What have I always said? I'm in it for me.
Yes, exactly.
How does it affect me?
And then that's what we're doing. How does it affect me?
Right, I get it. So I'm trying to dot I's and cross T's for me. And obviously, the connection that you guys have, it's important as well.
Right.
But me is first.
You is first.
Right, and me is first. And to Peter, he's first.
Do you want to do your list now or at 6:30?
6:30? I'm not writing a book about it. It's going to be at 5:45.
That was a great line.
Don's book
that
of
lists. That was a great line.
But if Don comes out with a book of lists,
it would be at 6:30. But the list is actually a 5:45 vehicle.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists. Take it away, Donnie.
All right. I stumbled upon this. Happy birthday to Justin Timberlake.
Wow.
That's right.
How old is Justin? I didn't look.
Is he 39?
That's a good guess. I would think he's in his 40s by now, right? So, Justin, tremendous artist. 42 years old.
42, wow.
And last I checked, he's still with us, so I got that right. So I figured, why not go with the top 5 musicians turned actors?
Musicians turned... He really hasn't turned actor, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Doesn't mean he's on the list.
Musicians turn actors. Wow. What? That's Elvis. Let's start with Elvis.
Yeah, and Elvis wasn't very good.
Well, what? Who are you taking
he out? Wasn't very good. All those movies were just him singing.
But he made, they made great money.
They made great money because it was Elvis.
Lemonade.
But no. The cool, refreshing drink. Listen, he was in Blue Hawaii, but I wouldn't call him a great actor by any stretch. So, no.
He's quite the thespian.
You put your list together and put Elvis on it. But
who are you
no.
taking out?
Yeah, who are you taking out?
Can I try again?
Pick him. Peter's go, just, he's in a daze. I'll get hit in the head.
Well, I'm thinking.
Eminem.
No.
No.
He was great at it.
Right. That's all you get.
That's all you need.
How about...
He was so great, he would have gotten more gigs.
How about Frank? He got offered a ton of gigs. He turned them down. How about Frank Sinatra?
It's a great pull. I got him at 5. One of the best supporting actor from Here to Eternity, but in a bunch of other stuff. A lot of it was just goofing around with the... what was it? The Ocean's 11 and Robin and the Seven Hoods and all that. So I got that at 5. Somebody's hitting something in my ear. It's driving me crazy. I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to go in there and take a life.
How about...
sorry.
How about... Oh, listen. You'll get ripped for this. Don't do that, Don.
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
No. I think you're going to
have a
kill.
Whole column. But no, you might kill somebody.
I didn't say that anybody's job is going to be lost.
But somebody could lose their life.
Yes, it's a different thing.
Yeah, you can threaten death. You can't threaten
how
fire.
How about Stephanie Germanotta, Lady Gaga?
I thought about it. I haven't actually written it down. I don't have her in the top 5. Well, it's a relative. Listen, she was great in
Star Is Born. Let me jump to my next.
No. You don't get to keep just guessing because you feel
rapid
like
fire.
It. You're a wild animal.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Hold. Give me a second to think. Shall we?
Then I have something loaded.
All right, go ahead.
Barbara Streisand.
Streisand. I have it
finally.
Number 2.
Congrats. You
comedic,
finally got one.
Academy Award winning, tremendous artist. I have Babs at 2. So we've got Frank at 5, Streisand at 2.
How about Mr. Ice Cube?
I thought about Ice Cube. I thought about Ice-T. You know I'm a fan of both musically.
Sure.
And their work has been pretty extensive actor-wise, but I don't have him
neither,
in the top 5.
Neither made it.
No. Thought about it. Fan. No. Who
did any out? Rapper make the list?
No. Yes.
Oh, Will Smith.
Will Smith is obviously number 1.
Number 1.
Well, because you know what he's
slapping.
Here's the thing with Will.
But you see what
that's not how you do.
Will is now.
Oh, thank you.
Will is.
Thank you for following me.
Slapping. I get
Will
it.
Is one of the 2 on the list, maybe 3, that now is more an actor than a musician.
Yes.
He is known by a whole generation of just being a great actor.
Yep.
Still, he was a good rapper,
he's
but he clearly
number
is number 1.
Yeah, that's right.
Slapping.
You did the right
that's
thing.
Pretty good. I like what you did there.
I can't come up with another one.
I'll say this. One of them was very close to somebody you work with.
Somebody I work
with?
Oh,
yeah.
Jennifer Lopez.
There you go, J-Lo.
I've got
at number 3, extensive body of work.
Extensive body of
well,
work?
Well, no, I, of work.
Come
don't
on.
Be a
hey, don't be an animal. That's your friend's ex.
And really, the
X
first thing
is
she
the
did, like,
work.
Selena is still tremendous.
Yeah. You don't think that hurts him? You don't think he bleeds? You don't think he cries?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Does he want to hear his friend now on the air talking about her extensive body?
Of work.
Of work. No, J-Lo's had a hell of a career.
So Will Smith is 1, Barbara Streisand 2, Jennifer Lopez 3, Frank Sinatra 5, and I've got 4. You're probably not going to agree. But a lot of work, a lot of funny stuff, a lot of big movies, and also more than an actor than an artist. Matter of fact, his musical work has left a lot to be desired.
Okay, so I have a guess.
To me, anyway.
Right. Guy had a number 1 hit, and is a great actor. From King Tut to The Jerk, Steve Martin. Let's give it
no,
to
me. No,
you know,
no.
I like the poll. King Tut's a very funny song.
That's a great song.
Oh, Eddie Murphy? It's not Eddie Murphy.
It's not Eddie Murphy.
No, he's
Party All the Time was
Adam,
a good song.
Adam Sandler? Hanukkah song?
No. Okay, give me a genre of music, though.
It's hip-hop.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, poor hip-hop.
It's poor?
I don't think it was very
Mark
good.
Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. I've got him at 4.
Thank you.
You know what? That was,
not a great body of work musically.
No, I didn't know where you were going when you said that, but that was a good description.
and his work, it's not Academy Award winning, but I think he had the best part in The Departed.
No, he's
he was terrific.
He's
in
a very he's a very solid actor.
All
there's
right.
no
so number one Will Smith, number two Barbara Streisand, number three J Lo, number four Mark Wahlberg, and number five Frank Sinatra.
Who
Lady Gaga was considered.
Gaga.
So is that good? Is that bounce back material?
That was you didn't need to bounce back. Yesterday was but that was very good. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Interesting. Interesting.
But Ice Cube's a good one. Ice-T is a good one.
Oh, a couple of people. Anthony Perry. How about Madonna?
I thought about Madonna.
Not very good.
How about
actress.
David Bowie? Dean Martin?
David Bowie was in a couple of things. The Man That Fell to Earth and
Labyrinth.
Which people say is unbelievable, The Man That Fell to Earth.
But I would not say that his acting left that much. Who did you say, Jacob? Dean Martin.
Prince?
Oh.
Well, Purple Rain, and what was after Purple Rain?
Controversy? Or was that what it's
called? He was not a good actor. Purple Rain, he played himself.
No, it's a great movie, but it's not good.
He played himself.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it well.
Play yourself is like Tonka Truck, right?
No, it's just easier to act that way. And the album Purple Rain, forget about it. It's off the charts.
All right, it's the final week of 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza 2023.
Tonka Truck, actually.
Each box comes with additional pricing, including JBL speakers, Fanatics gift cards, Bartesian home cocktail makers, and much more. Plus, the big game payout of thousands of dollars. And the grand prize final score wins a trip to Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, plus $2,000 cash. Get your boxes by listening weekdays in the 7 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours through this Friday, this coming Friday. So be caller number 30 right now at 888-987-ESPN to get your box. I'm trying to make it fair for everybody.
I love it.
Don.
No, I think that was brilliant what you came up with yesterday. I didn't even think about that.
Although a lot of people text me and said, well, you'd have to have caller number 9005 if you're listening on
it
the
app.
It
is pretty. If you're watching on DirecTV, too, you're like way behind television.
Yeah, and yes, you're
yeah, you're behind already. Yeah, it's tough. But you were right. And also, I want to ask you, because you're the expert on words. Is prizing relatively new?
Prizing?
Yeah, I never heard it until like recently. It's been in a lot of reads. I never really wasn't that familiar. I know what it means. I'm not that familiar.
I've heard it before.
I think it's new.
Rock Me Sam Amadeus says, how about Bing Crosby?
Well, name a movie he was in.
All the movies with Bob Hope.
I know, but you can't name one of them. When they break down the third
wall. On the Road to Morocco.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. Good. No, they're fine, but they're just playing themselves. That's nothing. That's not a big deal.
Again, not talking.
And Dean Martin was just, you know, Dean Martin, it's not bad. It's not on there.
John Winthrop says your best list ever.
Yeah, to impress him is hard.
Yeah, because he hates life. Let's be honest.
Yeah, which is strange. It's a good life.
He's has a good life, but he's miserable. He really is.
Yeah.
Not happy.
No.
He has so today he has really white sneakers on. I said, are those new? He goes, no, they're 3 years old. That's why I wore them today, because it was raining out. I'm trying to get them dirty.
What does that mean?
Who knows? The way that mind works.
That is a strange fellow.
I said, I've got a puddle of mud. Easy. Make him dirty.
That's axe murderer stuff right there. You got to be careful.
He's got issues.
Yeah, that's someone.
He's one of those. Yeah, we saw it coming.
Yeah, Ryan, that's something you write down.
There's no way. God forbid if he did something terrible that any of us in good conscience could go on Eyewitness News and go, we never thought this could happen.
No,
he's such a good guy.
No, one day he came in, he's wearing white shoes and said, I just want to dirty
that would
these
be
up.
Like the Who Shot Buckwheat on Saturday Night Live. Did they say that he were capable? Oh, he talked about shooting buckwheat all the time.
That's exactly how we'd feel.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.